This is Community Matters here on KBUT. We're discussing public lands and people. Our other guest this evening is Kevin Alexander, a biology professor with Western Colorado University and the chair of the Sustainable Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Committee. And something actually we discussed before we all got on the air earlier is in the submissions to the questions, a lot of people are submitting sort of similar questions, but in different language. So I'm sort of just going to distill down an idea that was brought up a lot in the questions. This one is for Kevin Alexander, who is, of course, on the Sustainable Tourism Outdoor Recreation Committee. A lot of folks are wondering how to define sustainable tourism and looking for examples of sustainable tourism and wondering how you measure success when it comes to such a thing. Kevin Alexander, I was hoping you could wax philosophic on that for a little while and tell us what you think about sustainable tourism and what that means.
Yeah, and that is really a great question. And I don't know if there's a perfect answer for that. You know, we do have a variety of goals that came out of this committee, you know, and I would kind of put those definitions out there. They're available if you go to our website, and it's ensure the Valley's tourism sector of the economy is resilient, vibrant, and supports our community values. And part of that, we were talking about trying to balance tourism year round, you know, on shoulder seasons, winter and spring, or winter, spring, summer and fall. And part of that is also determining what kind of recreation is appropriate for here in the Gunnison Basin, and how do we support those types of things that's appropriate for us and our community values. We wanted to foster both resident and visitor culture that demonstrates a respect for our community, our culture, and stewardship out there. So we've done that by going out there with our messaging that I mentioned earlier. We've adopted leave no trace and shift principles for going forward. And another big part of this is collaboration. So all our community members are kind of working together to define that and supporting each other. And that we want to be proactive so that we're not behind the curve and we're just dealing with problems all the time. We want to design things where we minimize degradation and enhance quality. And we do that a lot with both supporting the Crested Butte Conservation Corps and then using that GOCO funding that is supporting the STORE Corps. And we've just now submitted another grant. Kathy Pagano and others in Gunnison County put out another GOCO grant to help get some funding for more continued support of those conservation corps.
Sure.
That's it. Kind of a nutshell, I think, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you for that answer. So it's 6:31. I want to get to another listener submitted question. Actually, this is from Matt Reed, who's the public lands director with High Country Conservation Advocates, obviously an expert on the issue. So I'm just going to read this directly. This is one of many questions that Matt submitted, but Gunnison County Public Lands and the Gunnison National Forest are not the first places in America to feel the pressure of more people and visitors out on the landscape. Are there examples or models of other communities across the country that have successfully balanced impacts to wildlife, water quality, quiet recreation, and the like, while also having to accommodate more people? Any examples we can look to for guidance, or are we on our own? So Kevin Alexander, I want to send that to you first, if you don't mind. Can you tell us of any other communities that we are looking to as an example?
Yeah, and that's a great question from Matt.
Okay.
And so what I'd like to say is, you know, what we keep hearing, and we get a lot of people that were asking these types of questions to, are there other good examples? And a lot of the answers that we get are, we're kind of leading the way on dealing with this balanced approach to things. We have looked at what some other areas have done, you know, everything from fee-based areas to, you know, other places tend to be a little more all pushing recreation and not necessarily the balance. you know, and we've kind of been wrestling with a lot of that type of stuff. And I think that's where we've been kind of trailblazers. You know, we've been innovative, been creative. And so we're getting a lot of people that are coming to us now and asking how we make this kind of thing work.
Sure.
So we're not there yet. You know, we're making it as we go along, and it's collaborative. And it's a really good group to work with. Everybody's very positive and creative and bringing issues forward. So, yeah.
Sure. Matt McCombs, did you have anything to add to that? Of course, you work for, you know, a federal agency that might have exposure to other communities that might be dealing with something similar. Do you want to add to that at all?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that there are lots of working models out there where communities have had to arrest sort of the explosion of recreation and you know, pushing into areas where it's just not sustainable or really not even suitable, perhaps. It's not an even trade-off. Maybe those impacts to habitat are just not worth allowing, you know, additional recreation experiences to be developed. So, you know, some of the areas that I've looked at that have had some successful working models is like the Moab area has done a really good job of trying to figure out how to manage the huge amount of influx of folks while protecting key resources, but also trying to maintain as many opportunities as possible. Sedona is another one down on the Coconino National Forest. Even some of our friends just on the other side of the mountains there, sort of in the I-70 corridor and in the Aspen area, really starting to tinker around on some innovative ways to try to again, just create as many opportunities you can, but not like tip the scales in a way that we're losing some of those other precious values that are, you know, inherent to the national forest system. To Kevin's point around what Gunnison is doing, I think is the Gunnison County Stewardship Store Committee and really just the Gunnison Valley at large is getting out ahead of this issue, you know, through the One Valley Prosperity Project, naming this as a key issue that the community together wanted to tackle before it became an insurmountable problem or before, you know, people's you know, energy was zapped because the problem seemed so challenging. And I think that's what people are keying into, is that we're stepping out in a way that's created a lot of unique alliances between municipal governments, county governments, state and federal governments, as well as just a kaleidoscope of stakeholders. Everyone's at the table, and we're trying to figure this out together. That puts us in a much better place than some of these communities that just were overrun and devolved into a lot of vitriol and frustration. So we've got a really positive attitude right now. And I think if we can keep that as a community and keep that as a committee, we're going to continue to make smart decisions. And with these new funding sources and with the innovative funding sources that we've already developed, I think we can start making some headway. And that's really exciting.
It's 6:36. This is KBUT's Community Matters. My name is Christopher Biddle. I'm with Matt McCombs and Kevin Alexander. We're discussing public lands and people. Kevin and Matt are going to be with me for about another 10 minutes or so. We have a few more questions to send their way, and then we're going to be speaking with Kevin Koblenz of Cattlemen's Days for an update on that event. I think this is a great question. What are the metrics you use to assess your efforts? So in other words, how do you know you're being successful in mitigating damage, you know, promoting sustainable tourism, getting education out there? What are some metrics that are used to assess success? And that's a question for Kevin Alexander. In terms of the success of the store committee and the work that they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and once again, that's another great question and a hard question to actually put on the ground right now. But, you know, you would hope that there would be, you know, people in the designated camping areas, people staying on trail, people camping where they're supposed to. We would have resilient wildlife communities, resilient fisheries, and you would know we were successful by seeing those types of things. If you're seeing people still being able to recreate responsibly, and have minimized impacts, less human waste around trailheads. You know, one thing that follow up on some of the map stuff is We have invested substantial amounts of funds on new toilets at trailheads and key spots in the basin. So trying to reduce those types of impacts off in the backcountry. And I think if we do that well, and you'll start seeing fewer and fewer conflicts, fewer and fewer complaints, more people enjoying themselves, things like that would be the metrics I would be using.
Sure. And just because you did mention porta potties, I will say that in this time, just recently, actually, we had a caller call in, Gio Bullock, that wants to know, how can we get more porta potties out there in those high traffic areas, followed by permanent outhouses and possibly more established paid sites due to increase in use? So maybe another metric is, when you stop hearing things like that, like, we need more porta potties, we need more infrastructure, we need more, you know, so, you know, maybe that's an indicator that there's still more work that needs to be done. I do want to get back to sort of another listener theme that has come in, and that is the tourist economy's responsibility to the rest of the community in mitigating some of the impacts of tourism. Again, I'm trying to sort of take three or four questions that have come in and try to reshape them into one. But for instance, we have people that are asking about, you know, taking money that would be going to promoting tourism in Gunnison County to possibly solve some of these overuse issues, like installing more porta potties, for instance. And then, you know, another listener just asked, what efforts does the tourism sector make to mitigate its impact to the broader community? I'd like you both to sort of speak to this if you can. Kevin, do you mind taking that one first?
No, not at all. And, you know, a lot of these groups are at the table, right? A lot of these groups are actually very active, and, you know, I can throw out the Crested Butte Mountain Bike Association, the sheer amount of trail work, this sheer amount of stewardship that they're putting in to help manage the impacts from mountain biking and lots of other forms of recreation as well. So, you know, they're really stepping up to that. I think the bigger question is, you know, how do we get that outdoor industry to start, you know, filling back in some of this as an entire industry, and what kind of stuff, how do we direct that as a society, right?
Sure.
As they are utilizing things that belong to all of us to help with their business models and things. So I think that's a bigger national and regional conversation that needs to be going on. But there's some headway, and there's a lot of great groups that are, chipping in because it's in their best interest to help out. And they, you know, the other thing I've kind of been noticing in this is, we all kind of want the same thing here in Gunnison County. I mean, it's a beautiful place. We want this quality. And regardless if you're riding a dirt bike or an ATV or a mountain bike, or you're a hiker or angler or hunter, a lot of times we still value those beautiful landscapes and that wildlife and things like that.
Sure.
You just got to come up with these collaborative approaches for dealing with that. And everybody kind of has to chip in. Sure. And we're moving that direction. We're not there yet, though.
Yeah. So, and Matt McCombs, I mean, the Forest Service sort of straddles some of these worlds. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the Forest Service is in the lodging industry. I mean, you have to pay to use the campsites very often. And I mean, you know, I mean, they are, the Forest Service is an attractor for a lot of people. They're coming to the area. They want to use the public lands. I don't know. What's your contribution to that conversation and folks that are attracting tourists into a community and responsibility towards the greater community for doing that?
So one thing I just love to highlight is, you know, this, I've mentioned it before, is the Gunnison County Stewardship Fund. And it's this idea, it's a partnership between Gunnison County and the National Forest Foundation that we've been raising, you know, well over $100,000 a year. And it's the core of the concept is that, you know, businesses that are you know, integrated with public lands that really, you know, perhaps make their living off the backs of public lands have an opportunity to support this fund by giving their guests, their clients, an opportunity to leave a very small piece of themselves behind. In the form of a micro donation. And then those funds are pooled together and then reinvested and key projects that the store committee identifies. And it's a borrowed concept from the Ski Conservation Fund, which was piloted by the National Forest Foundation with Vail Corporation years ago, where Vail has been able to invest millions of dollars over the years by giving its guests an opportunity to leave, like I said, a very small amount of themselves behind in a way that they know that investment's going to be meaningful. So if there's business owners or others interested in participating and supporting that, I encourage you to get in contact with Joe Laverini. He's a shared staffer between the NFF and Gunnison County. And it's something that I think we have a huge opportunity to chart our own path and bring funding to the table. That's going to be, I think, make a big difference in the long run.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that back up. And Kevin Alexander, final question. We've got just 1 minute left before I have to let the two of you go. But I know, and I appreciate that, you know, getting involved, letting folks know, Matt McCombs, thanks for that. And I know that people are probably wondering the same thing about the Sustainable Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Committee. How do they get in touch with the store committee?
Pretty simple. Google Gunnison County store and you can get right there, and it'll have all our stuff. It's on the web. You can contact me and I'd be happy to connect people.
Great.
And I just want to follow up real quick with what Matt said.
Yeah.
With that $110,000 that they raised last year, funded the Crested Butte Conservation Corps, funded a Gunnison Trails trail crew, help donate money for Shady Island River Park.
Very cool.
The Gunsight Obie Joyful Connector Trail, funded that. One permanent toilet at Washington Gulch, and worked on the Wet Meadow Restoration Resilience Building Project as well.
Sure.
So that's where the funds from that were collected, as Matt brought up, went to this year as an example of some of the work we've done there.
Great. Well, thank you, Kevin Alexander, professor of biology with Western Colorado University and the chair of the Sustainable Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Committee. We really appreciate you joining the conversation tonight. Thank you, Kevin. And Matt McCombs, again, thank you for joining us from the fire lines of the Pine Gulch Fire. We so appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Christopher.
All right, and if you just keep listening to KBUT, we'll have an update with Kevin Koblentz, president of Cattlemen's Day, coming up next just after this break.